Ender ate no breakfast. He wasn't hungry. Instead, he went to the bathroom and showered, putting his flash suit in the cleaner so it would be ready when he was dried off. He washed himself twice and let the water run and run on him. It would all be recycled. Let everybody drink some of my sweat today. They had given him an untrained army, and he had won. And not just nip and tuck, either. He had won with only 6 frozen or disabled. Let's see how long other commanders keep using their formations now that they've seen what a flexible strategy can do. He was floating in the middle of the battle room when his soldiers began to arrive. No one spoke to him, of course. He would speak, they knew, when he was ready and not before. When all were there, Ender hooked himself near them and looked at them one by one. "Good first battle," he said, which was excuse enough for a cheer, and an attempt to start a chant of Dragon, Dragon, which he quickly stopped. "Dragon Army did all right against rabbits, but the enemy isn't always going to be that bad. If that had been a good army, C-Toon, your approach was too slow. They would have had you from the flanks before you got into good position. You should have split and angled in from 2 directions so they couldn't flank you. A&E, your aim was wretched. The tallies show that you averaged only 1 hit for every 2 soldiers. That means most of the hits were made by attacking soldiers close in. That can't go on. A competent army would cut up the assault force unless they have much better cover from the soldiers at a distance. I want every toon to work on distance marksmanship at moving and unmoving targets. Half-toons, take turns being targets. I'll thaw the flash suits every 3 minutes. Now move."
"Will we have any stars to work with?" asked Hot Soup.
"To steady our aim."
"I don't want you to get used to having something to steady your arms. If your arm isn't steady, freeze your elbows. Now move."
The toon leaders quickly got things going, and Ender moved from group to group to make suggestions and help soldiers who were having particular trouble. The soldiers knew by now that Ender could be brutal in the way he talked to groups, but when he worked with an individual, he was always patient, explaining as often as necessary, making suggestions quietly, listening to questions and problems and explanations. But he never laughed when they tried to banter with him, and they soon stopped trying. He was commander every moment they were together. He never had to remind them of it. He simply was. They worked all day with a taste of victory in their mouths and cheered again when they broke half an hour early for lunch. Ender held the toon leaders until the regular lunch hour to talk about the tactics they had used and evaluate the work of their individual soldiers. Then he went to his own room and methodically changed into his uniform for lunch. He would enter the commander's mess about 10 minutes late, exactly the timing that he wanted. Since this was his first victory, he had never seen the inside of the commander's mess hall and had no idea what new commanders were expected to do. But he did know that he wanted to enter last today, when the scores of the morning's battles were already posted. Dragon Army will not be an obscure name now. There was no great stir when he came in. But when some of them noticed how small he was and saw the dragons on the sleeves of the uniform, they stared at him openly, and by the time he got his food and sat at a table, the room was silent. Ender began to eat, slowly and carefully, pretending not to notice that he was the center of attention. Gradually, conversation and noise started up again, and Ender could relax enough to look around. One entire wall of the room was a scoreboard. Soldiers were kept aware of an army's overall record for the past 2 years. In here, however, records were kept for each commander. A new commander couldn't inherit a good standing from his predecessor. He was ranked according to what he had done. Ender had the best ranking. A perfect one-lost record, of course, but in the other categories he was far ahead. Average soldiers disabled, average enemy disabled, average time elapsed before victory, in every category he was ranked first. When he was nearly through eating, someone came up behind him and touched his shoulder. "Mind if I sit?" Ender didn't have to turn around to know it was Dink Meeker.
"Ho, Dink," said Ender. "Sit."
"You gold-plated fart," said Dink cheerfully. "We're all trying to decide whether your scores up there are a miracle or a mistake."
"A habit," said Ender.
"One victory is not a habit," Dink said. "Don't get cocky. When you're new, they send you against weak commanders. Karn Karby isn't exactly on the bottom of the rankings."
It was true. Karby was just about in the middle.
"He's okay," Dink said, considering that he only just started.
shows some promise. You don't show promise. You show threat.
Threat to what?
Do they feed you less if I win? I thought you told me that this was all a stupid game and none of it mattered.
Dink didn't like having his words thrown back at him, not under these circumstances.
You were the one who got me playing along with them, but I'm not playing games with you, Ender. You won't beat me.
Probably not, Ender said.
I taught you, Dink said.
Everything I know, said Ender. I'm just playing it by ear right now.
Congratulations, said Dink.
It's good to know I have a friend here. But Ender wasn't sure Dink was his friend anymore. Neither was Dink. After a few empty sentences, Dink went back to his table.
Ender looked around when he was through with his meal. There were quite a few small conversations going on. Ender spotted Bonzo, who was now one of the oldest commanders. Rose the Nose had graduated. Petra was with a group in a far corner, and she didn't look at him once. Since most of the others stole glances at him from time to time, including the ones Petra was talking with, Ender was pretty sure she was deliberately avoiding his glance. That's the problem with winning right from the start, thought Ender. You lose friends.
Give them a few weeks to get used to it. By the time I have my next battle, things will have calmed down in here.
Karn Karby made a point of coming to greet Ender before the lunch period ended. It was again a gracious gesture, and unlike Dink, Karby did not seem wary.
Right now I'm in disgrace, he said frankly. They won't believe me when I tell them you did things that nobody's ever seen before. So I hope you beat the snot out of the next army you fight, as a favor to me.
As a favor to you, Ender said, and thanks for talking to me.
I think they're treating you pretty badly. Usually new commanders are cheered when they first join the mess. But then usually a new commander has had a few defeats under his belt before he first makes it in here. I only got in here a month ago. If anybody deserves a cheer, it's you. But that's life. Make him eat dust.
I'll try. Karn Karby left, and Ender mentally added him to his private list of people who also qualified as human beings. That night, Ender slept better than he had in a long time. Slept so well, in fact, that he didn't wake up until the lights came on. He woke up feeling good, jogged on out to take a shower, and did not notice the piece of paper on his floor until he came back and started dressing in his uniform. He only saw the paper because it moved in the wind as he snapped out the uniform to put it on. He picked up the paper and read it. Petra Arcanian, Phoenix Army, 0700. It was his old army, the one he had left less than 4 weeks before, and he knew their formations backward and forward. Partly because of Ender's influence, they were the most flexible of armies, responding relatively quickly to new situations. Phoenix Army would be the best able to cope with Ender's fluid, unpatterned attack. The teachers were determined to make life interesting for him. 0700, said the paper, and it was already 0630. Some of his boys might already be heading for breakfast. Ender tossed his uniform aside, grabbed his flash suit, and in a moment stood in the doorway of his army's barracks.
Gentlemen, I hope you learned something yesterday, because today we're doing it again.
It took a moment for them to realize that he meant a battle, not a practice. It had to be a mistake, they said. Nobody ever had battles 2 days in a row. He handed the paper to Fly Molo, the leader of Atun, who immediately shouted, "Flash suits!" and started changing clothes.
"Why didn't you tell us earlier?" demanded Hot Soup. Hot had a way of asking Ender questions that nobody else dared ask.
"I thought you needed a shower," Ender said. "Yesterday, Rabbit Army claimed we only won because the stink knocked them out."
The soldiers who heard him laughed.
"Didn't find the paper till you got back from the showers, right?"
Ender looked for the source of the voice. It was Bean, already in his flash suit, looking insolent. "Time to repay old humiliations, is that it, Bean?"
"Of course," Ender said contemptuously. "I'm not as close to the floor as you are."
More laughter. Bean flushed with anger.
"It's plain we can't count on old ways of doing things," Ender said, "so you'd better plan on battles any time, and often. I can't pretend I like the way they're screwing around with us, but I do like one thing, that I've got an army that can handle it."
After that, if he had asked them to follow him to the moon without spacesuits, they would have done it. Petra was not Karn Karby. She had more flexible patterns and responded much more quickly to Ender's darting, improvised, unpredictable attack. As a result, Ender had 3 boys flashed and 9 disabled at the end of the battle.
Petra was not gracious about bowing over his hand at the end, either. The anger in her eyes seemed to say, "I was your friend, and you humiliate me like this." Ender pretended not to notice her fury. He figured that after a few more battles, she'd realize that in fact she had scored more hits against him than he expected anyone ever would again. And he was still learning from her. In practice today, he would teach his toon leaders how to counter the tricks Petra had played on them. Soon they would be friends again. He hoped.